grinder, let's grind, let's work. The hard work continues, everything continues.
Grow up, man, it's gonna be a fast season.
Let's go. You know the motto, full throttle from the get-go. Ice in my veins of gelato, racing the rest of the God knows. Go home.
New quarterbacks in new places. You're getting new receivers in new places. So you want to build that chemistry.
Turn it up now. Came for the show. They know
we go big or go home. You know, nothing is just given to you. We got to start over again.
Feel good to be back, baby.
Welcome to NFL Live. Training camp schedules have been released. I can almost smell the fresh-cut grass and sunscreen. The Jets will be first to report on July 19th, shortly followed by the Browns, since those two teams play in the Hall of Fame game, which is just 5 weeks from today. Then the Lions and the Chiefs follow next because they play the regular season opener, which is just 10 weeks from today. I'm Dan Graziano, joined today by Mina Kimes, Damian Woody, Diana Russini, and we have a lot to talk about, but just like the NFL regular season, we are going to start with the Lions. Their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, had this to say recently about his quarterback, Jared Goff. Said, he's one of the biggest reasons why I didn't want to leave. I feel we are tied together to a degree. He's an extension of me, and I'm an extension of him. I've told him multiple times his success is my success and vice versa. That is Ben Johnson, who was thought to be a candidate for head coach jobs and turned down the opportunity to interview for some last year to stay with the Lions, who have come a long way in the past year. Last year, ESPN Analytics gave Detroit a 1% chance to win the division, with the Packers overwhelming favorites at nearly 90%. Neither of them did. The tables have turned this year, though. The Lions are favored to win the division, while Green Bay is projected to finish last. So everything about the Lions, Mina, sounds exciting and fun, but what are their biggest challenges if they're going to meet these expectations?
You know, first of all, that's quite the quote from Ben Johnson. I'm an extension right? of him. He's an extension of me. It sounds like a wedding vow or something. It does convey a lot of belief. I know, I'm stealing that one. And I think it's merited given that, you know, we know who Jared Goff really is as a quarterback, which is one who's very context dependent. In good situations, he has played well. I think the Lions continue to be a good situation, most of all because of their offensive line, which actually could be stronger this year with the return of Vitae on the inside. But I do have some concerns, especially about the beginning of the season, or shall I say, I think there will be challenges without Jamison Williams. Because when you look at this receiving group led by Amon-Ra St. Brown in the slot, without Williams behind him, it's Josh Reynolds. They get Marvin Jones back. They drafted Sam Laporta, who's a tight end that I liked a lot. Jahmyr Gibbs, who's an exciting running back and pass catching option. But none of these guys can really win on the outside. And while DJ Chark didn't get a lot of attention last year, he was very impactful in this offense on the outside. In fact, without him, they went from the fifth pass-heaviest offense in football to the games where he didn't play 31st. So in those first six games, I could see them running the ball more, but they will be challenged, I think, to find explosives given some of the limitations at their skill positions.
Yeah, and just, you know, I echo a lot of what Mina said as well. But also, when I look at the defense side of the football as well as it relates to the Detroit Lions, because what usually happens is usually defenses are ahead of offenses at the beginning of the season. And so the thing you have to wonder is the Detroit Lions defense that was, quite honestly, moribund last year, how much more improved are they going to be in case this Detroit Lions offense sputters out of the gate? That's going to be the big thing. Is that how much ground has the Detroit Lions defense made up from last season? You know, you got to expect guys like Aiden Hutchinson to you know, make that second-year leap. And the pieces they've added in the secondary, hopefully they come around. But how much better is this Detroit Lions defense going to be to really help this Lions team out?
Look, what we started this segment off with, talking about Jared Goff and Ben Johnson, is actually the key to the success of this team, especially on offense, knowing that they don't have the best wide receiver group right now. But what they do have is a strong offensive line and a great defensive line, right? Going back to the trenches, this is where they excel. And I spent some time with Jared Goff a few months ago talking about the experience in Detroit after a season that gave the fans so much hope. And I was actually watching him interact with Lions fans. And when one of the fans was pretty much chewing his ear off about how excited he was about the season. I looked at him and I said, man, is that kid like exhausting? He goes, no, you don't understand how much Detroit fans appreciate what we're doing. I love being here. And you could feel the genuine happiness he has playing for the Detroit Lions. But I'm going to put all that to the side, guys. Yes, the Detroit Lions, I think our memory of them, that last game against Green Bay, it's fresh in our minds, right? They had so much effort out there. But why are we looking past the Minnesota Vikings here with a quarterback that we know has shown he can play in some big games? They won 13 games last year. And I know that we can get down into it and say, well, they barely got by. But this team is bringing back some incredible weapons back on offense. They look pretty similar to what they did last year. Now, the question mark is going to be the defense, right? We know Brian Flores is taking over as the coordinator. This is where their weakness most likely is going to stand out. But I'm not putting the Vikings aside until I see the Detroit Lions able to really take that next big step.
Yeah, look, the Lions haven't won the division since 1993, so it is fair to say I've got to see it first. And yeah, we talked Lions-Packers, but the Vikings are the defending champions in that division. We have breaking news this just in from our Adam Schefter. Cam Robinson of the Jaguars officially suspended. Schefter now tweeting, an NFL officially suspending Jaguars offensive tackle Cam Robinson 4 games for violating the PED policy per source. We knew this was coming, D. Wood, but now that it's official, quick reaction, what does it mean for Jacksonville?
That's a big loss. It's a big loss for Jacksonville. You know, the one thing about Cam Robinson and that offensive line, they weren't the best pass protection unit, but they were able to get after people in the run game. But, you know, now you're talking about your starting left tackle being out for 4 games. I know they drafted the tackle out of Oklahoma in the second round, but to expect him to be ready to go right out of the gate, I mean, that's asking a lot out of him.
Yeah. This was always the big question mark about the Jags offense, which was otherwise extremely strong. Obviously, adding Calvin Ridley to the mix helps. It was a problem, though, frankly, when Cam Robinson played last year. As Damian alluded to, they did draft Anton Harrison. I will say this. While the offensive line is maybe the potential Achilles heel of this Jaguars offense, Trevor Lawrence, with his style of play, his ability to evade sacks at an extremely high level, and also his extremely quick release, which got faster as the year went on, that will help mitigate some of the growing pains with a young offensive line that also lost Juwan Taylor at right tackle, especially early on as they learned to play together.
Yeah, look, it's a tough blow for the Jaguars, but you're right. They did make that first-round pick of an offensive tackle. Maybe that does help soften it a little bit. We're not doing New England Patriots. The Colts got some unwelcome news Thursday. They had a pair of suspensions. Cornerback Isaiah Rodgers and linebacker Rashad Berry received indefinite suspensions lasting at least 1 year for betting on the NFL. Shortly thereafter, the Colts announced that they had released both of those players. Titans starting right tackle Nicholas Petit-Frere got a 6-game suspension for placing non-NFL bets at the team facility. D. Wood, this continues to happen. We keep seeing these gambling suspensions this offseason. After today's news, what would your message to players be?
What's the upside, fellas?
Yeah, right.
What's the upside? You know, like you're making 7-8 figures out here, and you're sitting around betting, you know, doing prop bets online. Like, I just don't understand what the upside is. Roger Goodell always talks about the integrity of the game. Well, guess what? When you talk about gambling, that directly correlates to the integrity of the game. Why even put yourself out there like that?
Yeah, obviously it's not something the league wants to see continue to happen. And obviously they're hoping that at some point these year-long suspensions will be a deterrent to more guys than they have been so far. We've got lots more to do today on NFL Live. The NFC South will have 4 new starting quarterbacks in week 1. Find out why Bryce Young could push the Panthers into the playoffs in his first season. And Jalen Hurts' journey to NFL success wasn't easy. The Eagles quarterback takes us inside how he went from transfer to superstar.
Double down on the work that I put in. I know what I invest into the game. I know what it costs to succeed.
NFL Live is brought to you by Burger King.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Will the Jets finally make the playoffs?
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs?
Seahawks, Giants, Jaguars, and Dolphins. Playoff team.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
The Detroit Lions, Cowboys, Panthers, Baltimore Ravens.
They're definitely a playoff team.
I think they're a playoff team again this year.
I just hope we can win a game.
Yes, Jim Mora, it's only June, but we are talking playoffs. Why? Because as we look ahead to the NFL season, there is a trend worth noting. For each of the last 33 years, at least four new teams have made the playoffs in the NFL that didn't make it the year before. So let's take a look at the playoff teams from last year. On the left, the two columns on the left, the teams that made the playoffs last year, and then the two columns on the right here are teams that did not. So Damian Woody, you're up first, and the question here is, who are the four teams that didn't make the playoffs last year that will make it this year?
Yeah, Dan, so I'm going to go with the New York Jets. Let's see what else I got.
All right.
The Detroit Lions.
Right.
And just the last one I struggled with, but I'm going with the New Orleans Saints to come out of the NFC South.
The New Orleans Saints to come out of the NFC South. So he said, Diana, he said Jets, Steelers, Saints, and Lions. So what do you think of Damian's list?
I think it took him a long time to get to it, but I actually have to agree with him, even though, I'm more interested to see what he has as the teams that aren't going to make it. I have a feeling that we're not going to be in sync here.
Yeah. You got to knock four teams out, D. Wood. So who are those four that made it last year?
I believe it, with the Miami Dolphins, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Minnesota Vikings, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Diane, I know you're bullish on the Minnesota Vikings, so that's where we're going to disagree at.
That's not my issue. That's actually not it. My issue is the Miami Dolphins.
Oh.
What about their team right now? Do you think is going to hold them back from making a playoff run this year? They are built to win this year.
They are built to win this year, but is their quarterback built to last this year? That's the question I have. You know, that's been something that Tua has struggled with since coming into the National Football League, is availability. I agree. Miami has a ton of weapons offensively. We know with Vic Fangio, the new defensive coordinator, what he should bring to that defense. They should be a lot better than what they were. But can the quarterback stay on the field? That's the big question.
That is the big question.
Look, I saw this Miami Dolphins team. I saw them give the Buffalo Bills a run with a third-string rookie quarterback last year in the wild card round. So, while, yeah, you want Tua. They want Tua. They're going to have the most success with him under center. But maybe their system can come up with some magic if he's not out there.
Maybe. Tua's health, the biggest question around the Dolphins. Just impossible to answer it from this far out. Hopefully he gets through the year healthy and we see what they are with him under center. Okay, Mina, you're up. Here are four teams that didn't make the playoffs last year but will this year.
Yeah, I think the Jets and the Lions are the two obvious choices. Damian and I share those. I also share the Steelers, though. It's a team that was still knocking on the door of the playoffs last year, even with the best player on their team, T.J. Watt, injured for much of the season, and bringing on a rookie quarterback who I thought played well down the stretch. So I like them. I guess it would be a dark horse because they're not the favorite to win the division, and this is where I part ways with Damian is. I'm picking the Falcons to come out of the NFC South for the simple reason that I really love everything they did this offseason. First of all, we're talking about an offense that was extremely efficient running the ball last year. I think was held back at times by some inaccuracy in the passing game. Bringing a young quarterback who I thought looked competent at the end of last season, but the reality is his job will not be very difficult in this offense. They remind me a little bit of the San Francisco 49ers and how they're very unusual. They're going to be a lot of two tight end, two running back sets, with Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts split out wide. I think Arthur Smith, their head coach, is a really good play caller. And then defensively, this team probably did more than any other unit, maybe outside of Miami, in terms of personnel additions, as well as hiring a new defensive coordinator, Ryan Nielsen from the Saints. And at every level, there's talent that I'm excited about. In the back end, Jesse Bates adding the best free agent safety available up front, David Onyemata, Calais Campbell just steadying veterans. And then a guy who I actually happened to be watching this morning, Caden Ellis, linebacker out of New Orleans. Not a household name yet, but I think could be sneakily one of the best pickups of this entire offseason.
Mina, you make a compelling case about the Atlanta Falcons. I love their personnel offensively. I actually love their offensive line. I think their offensive line could be one of the better units in the National Football League. But I have to also say this. I almost picked the Carolina Panthers. I'm bullish on the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers, from week 17, from week 7 on, they had the fifth best rushing attack in the National Football League. That offensive line really came on. I know defensively, I think they're going to get better defensively, but I love the infrastructure, the coaching staff of the Carolina Panthers. I think going in and starting week one, I wouldn't be surprised if Bryce Young hits the ground running with the Carolina Panthers.
It says a lot if you have one of the best rushing attacks in the league after you trade Christian McCaffrey. That's impressive by the Carolina Panthers, who will head into this season with a new quarterback and a new head coach. Another team, one of the five to hire a new head coach this offseason, is the Denver Broncos. When we come back, Adam Schefter takes us inside the one thing that Sean Payton will change for Russell Wilson this season.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Back here on NFL Live, where over the past 2 weeks, Adam Schefter has taken us through all of his biggest offseason storylines. That series continues today as Adam takes us inside Sean Payton's arrival in Denver.
Of all the marriages consummated this summer, none has gotten any more attention than the one between new Broncos head coach Sean Payton and his quarterback Russell Wilson.
One of the best coaches to ever coach this game. He's intense, he's focused. He's such a great teacher of the game.
Now it's up to Payton to elevate his playing partner Wilson, who's coming off a season in which he had career lows in touchdown passes, 16, completion percentage, 60%, and total QBR, 37, while the Broncos ranked dead last in the NFL in points per game with 16.9.
I don't know if something was said, if Russell Wilson says something as he's coming off the field here, or Purcell is just going over to him and saying, hey, man, I care about this.
Enter Peyton, who Saints from 2006 to 2021 never once ranked outside the top 20 in points per game and averaged the second most points per game in the NFL over that same time period.
Breeze drops back, throws, end zone, touchdown, Mike Thomas!
He throws on a stop fade, and it's caught by Graham. Touchdown, Saints!
This was the opportunity that I was interested in, and I know I was the coach they were interested in.
Wilson wanted Denver to hire Peyton more than any other head coach. So now Wilson has the coach he wants, the contract he wants, and Denver needs to get the quarterback it wanted and valued, or the marriage will be in danger of crumbling.
That's the big issue coming off a very disappointing first season for Russell Wilson in Denver. D. Wood, what does Sean Payton do to fix Russell Wilson's troubles?
Well, I think the culture and the structure is going to be, it's going to be felt immediate by Russell Wilson and that whole team. I think just having Russ not doing so much ad-libbing, because that's really what he kind of did, you know, during his, you know, heyday in Seattle. He was able to kind of ad-lib, get outside the pocket, making big plays down the field. I think Sean Payton is going to have him more streamlined to play within the structure of the offense, which in turn is going to help this Denver Broncos offense be more efficient.
Yeah, I think one of the hopes is it just is a little better organized than things were last year. Nathaniel Hackett was a first-year head coach. Sean Payton, obviously, far from that. The Denver Broncos, one of several teams with a new quarterback-coach combo this year. You see Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, and Jimmy Garoppolo are among the veterans who changed teams this offseason and obviously working with different coaches as a result. And each of the top three rookie quarterbacks from the draft will be paired with a new head coach as well. So we wanted to ask, which of these pairings of head coach and quarterback, new pairings, are the most interesting? Diana Rossini, you go first.
I've never been around a quarterback quite like this. That's Robert Saleh's words talking about his new quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. And I cannot wait to see how this is going to work when things aren't in the honeymoon stage anymore, when it's not perfect, right? Because Saleh doesn't have that experience with being around a quarterback of this caliber, right? You think back to Tom Brady being with the Bucs there. At least Bruce Arians had an experience before with Peyton Manning, with Ben Roethlisberger. There wasn't a lot of transition for him. For Robert Saleh, this is a big step for him and a big jump in terms of the quality of quarterback.
And the most challenging pairing, the most challenging job is the one that Jonathan Gannon stepped into in Arizona, in part because it's not a pairing that we'll see for a while, if at all, next season due to Kyler Murray's injury. Cardinals are really making no secret of the fact that this season is not about competing, it's about rebuilding. So for Gannon, the challenge is presiding over the rebuild, not losing the locker room and building a new culture.
Yeah, and for me, it's Shane Steichen and Anthony Richardson. I mean, you're talking about a guy, Shane Steichen, who's worked with the likes of Justin Herbert and obviously as recently as Jalen Hurts. And we saw the progress that Jalen Hurts has made as a quarterback and playing at an MVP-type level last year. And so now you get this young, tremendous athlete at the quarterback position in Anthony Richardson, who only started 13 games. How can he mold him, take that clay and mold him into a superstar quarterback?
Diana, what are you hearing?
I'm so interested to see what I'm interested to see the discipline from the coaching staff, actually, and even maybe ownership when it comes to the rookie quarterback, because it's going to take time. And OTAs went well for him in terms of his poise and determination and just learning this offense. He's working hard at it, right? On the field, there's some growing pain. This is normal. This is fine. He is a rookie. But I'm curious to see how this team is going to evaluate come training camp, come the start of the season. What are they going to do? Are they going to roll out the rookie quarterback and just have him learn as he goes? Or are they going to put Gardner Minshew in there and let the rookie continue to grow and learn behind him? So that's really what I'm interested in seeing come training camp.
You know, when the Colts drafted Richardson, I was excited in large part because I loved this pairing of head coach and quarterback. I think, like a lot of people, I immediately saw the parallels with Jalen Hurts, what Shane Steichen did with that offense, building it around Hurts' skill set initially as a runner and then expanding the passing attack, the RPO game. Everything they did is what you would want for Anthony Richardson. However, what they had in Philadelphia was very different from what they have in Indianapolis. We're talking about an offensive line whose performance has declined over the last couple of years that we're hoping can get back to what they were a few years ago without personnel changes, really. And a wide receiving group that I don't think many people would rank amongst the NFL's best, certainly not on par with Philadelphia. So while I think schematically this is a dream pairing, really, I do expect there to be a lot of ups and downs in an adjustment period, in part because Anthony Richardson isn't walking into a ready-built roster like there was in Philadelphia. And my hope is just that Indianapolis, that they can, you know, maintain, I would say, equanimity during those ups and downs, and then help Richardson find his way back when he does have down performances, because there will be some in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that would seem to be the new head coach Shane Steichen's biggest job, maintain that equanimity and make sure that you don't put him in a position to fail too soon. Hey, I know we wanted to go, we got to go to break soon, but I know before that you guys were thinking, is there any new video out today about with NFL players lifting huge amounts of weight? And the answer is yes. Here is Saquon Barkley squatting what I'm told is like 585 pounds. C-Wood, what do we think? You're shaking your
Hell
head.
Hell no. Yeah. Like, no? I am, yeah, man, that, like, those days, man, are so far gone for me. Having putting all that type of weight on my back, I used to do that. Nah, no way.
Number?
No way I'm putting anything like that on my back. Huh?
What was your number? How high'd you go? Squats.
Oh, man, like 670?
Yeah, 670. Solid. So 585
okay.
is
yeah.
like, that's like
all
a
right,
dumbbell,
Damian.
Basically. That's like you could do one in each hand with 585. So not impressed with Saquon.
That's our entire
yeah.
show.
Right.
Outside of Damian, he could deadlift all of us. So.
670. Think about that. 670. Well, we'll think about that. But when we come back, we are going to take a look at Jalen Hurts' journey to the NFL. See how opportunity led him to become an elite quarterback for the Eagles.
I just felt like I was doing what I was raised to do, doing the right thing. I know I have scars. I know I have a past. I know I have things that I've had to overcome.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Here's the next UFC event from the Apex in Las Vegas with our middleweight main event. The prelims begin Saturday afternoon at 4 Eastern, followed by the main card at 7 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. Back to the football. Here is Eagles offensive lineman Lane Johnson talking about his quarterback, Jalen Hurts, and his ability to lead.
He's the guy, he don't say a whole lot, but when he does, it's usually he has a lot of substance to it, a lot of, you know, wisdom to it. But, you know, really, man, he just, you know, how he works, and obviously, you know, his physical stature, you can tell he's put in a lot of work. I feel like every situation he's been able to overcome, and I just feel like he's very mature for how young he is and how he handles everything.
As Lane just said, there's no question Jalen Hurts has overcome adversity throughout his NFL career. But the ability to persevere through difficult circumstances started way before he got to the pros. Matt Hasselbeck takes you back to the roots of the Eagles quarterback and his journey to the NFL.
Daycare was always a football field. With that, you're around older kids. You're imitating them, and you know, he just kind of fell in love with football.
Jalen Hurts, the son of a high school football coach, began his journey on the sidelines of Channel View High School, east of Houston, Texas.
What lessons were ingrained in you by your father through the game of football?
Being a ball boy, being on the sideline, created a ton of value for me. I was able to fall in love with the process of what it takes to succeed, what hard work looks like.
I think that really laid the foundation because he's a sponge.
By the time he reached high school in 2012, Hurts used those experiences to become a star dual threat quarterback.
Start of his junior year, he had taken his game to another level.
North Shore has been a rival, our nemesis. We had never beat North Shore. The stadium was packed. We were losing. There was 5.9 seconds left on the clock. Jalen threw a deep Hail Mary pass. It was the most exciting game that I had ever seen.
Hurts developed into a four-star recruit, committing to national powerhouse Alabama, becoming the first true freshman to start for the Crimson Tide in 32 years.
Well, he had a tremendous amount of maturity for a freshman. You know, really came in very sort of dedicated to learn the offense, and he had a really good opportunity based on our situation, and he took advantage of it.
Despite going 26-2 over his first two seasons, facing adversity started becoming Hurts' story. In the 2018 National Championship game, Alabama trailed 13-0 at halftime.
You know, at times, Jalen did a very good job of reading coverages and passing the ball, but there were still some inconsistencies in that part of his game. So when halftime came and it was 13-0, I said, we're going to have to make a change.
Hurts was benched for freshman Tua Tagovailoa.
Touchdown!
The first person to greet Tua after the touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
Everybody's got to buy into the principles and values of the team, and I think that was the greatest example we've ever had in our program's history.
The following season, Tua Tagovailoa was named the starting quarterback at Alabama, but instead of transferring, Jalen became QB2.
There was a lot of phone calls and a lot of conversations because it was a real tough time because that's a humbling situation.
But Jalen took the attitude that I'm going to work, so I'm going to be able to take advantage of an opportunity when it comes my way. Fast forward to the SEC championship game the next year, Tua gets hurt and he goes in and wins the game.
Touchdown, Jalen Hurts!
I just felt like I was doing what I was raised to do, doing the right thing. I know I have scars, I know I have a past, I know I have things that I've had to overcome.
In 2019, Hurts graduated from Alabama with 1 year of eligibility left and chose to attend the University of Oklahoma to hone his passing skills.
I thought at times he played too robotic, and some of that maybe, in my opinion, was a little bit part of his personality because he is so regimented and so process-driven.
Coach Riley had a wide-open offense, and you know, he was able to go and throw it around, so it's not like, okay, he can't throw. He didn't just learn how to throw. Coach Riley gave him that opportunity.
I thought that we could free him up a little bit, in a sense, both mentally and physically, to really try to further unlock the player that he could be.
After Hurts set career highs, passing for 32 touchdowns and over 3,800 yards in the air, the Eagles selected him in the second round of the 2020 NFL Draft. Now, Jalen has reached the final step of the journey, from son of a coach in Channelview, Texas, to Super Bowl starting quarterback.
From humble beginnings to all of the challenges, he's always managed to rise.
There cannot be a greater ambassador than Jalen in terms of how he represents himself. I couldn't be prouder.
I've had a lot of players. I have never had one quite like him. And so to see him on this stage now, I'm not surprised.
D. Wood, it's a heck of a story. It's one we already know, but seeing it laid out like that and realizing how far he's come, what do you think?
Listen, I would never be the person that bets against Jalen Hurts. I mean, that, you just see it, you know, from high school to college, you know, up until this point. He's just, all he's done is just gotten better and better and better. And I think he just has this chip, this underdog chip on his shoulder, that is just, whatever he's doing is just not good enough. And I think if he continues that, it's just driving him to greatness, man. It's one of the great stories that we have going on in the National Football League right now.
Mina, what do you think? What do you think's next?
Yeah,
Diana?
Sorry, Mina.
Diana, you go.
I was just so excited. I just, that piece is so well done. Matthew did an awesome job with it. And I look at it as when you see such gigantic improvements, I think of it sort of like the rungs on a ladder. You know, you can run up it really quickly because the space in between is smaller, but it gets harder. So I don't think we're going to see such a gigantic jump in improvement this year because he did such a great job of that last season. But in terms of the mental side of it, Jason Kelce recently just shared that Hurts was so down about losing the Super Bowl, and it took them a really long time, even together as a team, to get over it. And Kelce was like, do you realize you had one of the best quarterback performances ever of a quarterback playing in the Super Bowl? Like, you can't think of it that way. And Kelce says no matter what you tell him, he's just always going to go about his business as if he's got that chip. And I think that's going to carry as he continues to just have success with this Eagles team.
You know, something that jumps out to me is his improvement, the way in which he improves specifically, too, from year one to two, improving in terms of his accuracy, throwing over the middle of the field, his command of the passing attack. It's actually changed the way people look at NFL prospects in development. In the previous segment, we were talking about Anthony Richardson being drafted by the Colts. I am not sure Anthony Richardson gets drafted where he was if not for the improvement, the jump that Jalen Hurts made. I think it has made more offenses around the league, more teams around the league, rather, front offices prioritize quarterback mobility, understanding that it is an attribute that completely changes the way defenses play you, and it's something that a quarterback can lean on as he improves as a passer. Obviously, there have been other quarterbacks with similar arcs, but for him to do that so dramatically year one to two, I think really raised a lot of eyebrows and is going to affect the way not just football is played, but the way it's scouted for some time.
Yeah, look, it'll be fascinating to see the follow-up to Jalen Hurts' big year. Obviously, he got the big contract. Eagles are not concerned about the effect that might have on him. They expect him to be the same guy, and I don't know why at this point we wouldn't. When we come back on NFL Live, our man Bill Barnwell has ranked NFL teams according to one specific factor, and the Buffalo Bills landed at number 20 in his rankings. Find out why when we come back. Our next WNBA game is on ABC Saturday afternoon. It's a rematch of last year's finals between teams that have the best records in the league this year. Asia Wilson and the Aces host Dewana Bonner and the Sun at 3 Eastern. Coverage tips with WNBA Countdown at 2:30 Eastern. Earlier this week, our Bill Barnwell published an article where he ranked each team's playmakers, not including the quarterback position. Interesting way to evaluate offenses to see maybe which quarterback has the most help around him. Diana, in these rankings, what stood out to you?
So it stood out to me that he's got the Cowboys ahead of the Miami Dolphins in terms of the weapons there. I don't know about you, Dan, but Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, that running back room, to me seems like a much more talented receiving group there, especially going, what are you talking about, Brandon Cook, CeeDee Lamb? Mm-hmm. All right, Tony Pollard's obviously very good. But I disagree with Barnwell there, slightly off. I put the Dolphins ahead of the Cowboys.
D. Wood, what do you got?
Yeah, for me, I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. I believe they were, 19th?
Yes.
And what that reaffirmed to me was how special Patrick Mahomes is. Like, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, they're just special. And it kind of reminds me of, like, New England when Tom Brady would elevate so many of the playmakers in the offense during that dynasty era. Same thing that Patrick Mahomes is doing. You know, I expect Kadarius Toney to have a breakout year this season if he can stay healthy. Obviously, you've got, you know, Travis Kelce, but Patrick Mahomes, when you're a superstar quarterback, you elevate, make people better.
So I don't take issue with where Bill has the Bills. It's a wide receiver group that's a little bit iffy behind Stephon Diggs. Dawson Knox, okay last year. But I'm also really excited about the additions they made at their skill positions because I think they augur a sort of change in identity on offense, which is to say they came into this offseason, I believe, with a clear mandate. They wanted to get better at running the ball when defenses see the run. They went out and signed Damian Harris from rival New England Patriots, who's this powerful back. And then they draft tight end Dalton Kincaid in the first round. Now, I want to be clear. Dalton Kincaid is not a blocking tight end. He's more of a giant slot receiver. But if defenses play the Bills when he's on the field, when both him and Dawson Knox are on the field in nickel personnel, which Brandon Bean, their GM, has suggested, he will have favorable matchups blocking smaller players. So I think he compromises defenses, and these additions overall, for me, give the Bills more flexibility from a personnel and formational perspective that should make them more threatening this season.
Yeah, it's interesting to see them ranked at 20, though, after they finished second in the league in scoring offense last year. But yeah. To Bill's point, Buffalo was heavily reliant on Josh Allen, the quarterback. He scored or passed for 84% of Buffalo's offensive touchdowns last season. That was the highest rate of any player in the league. This leads to the question, Damian, are the Bills relying too much on Josh Allen?
Yeah, I think they are. And I know, you know, people hate to say, you know, run the football. That sounds so archaic, but I do think they need to have a little bit more sense of balance in their offense because everything, Josh Allen is their running game. You know, he is prolific at running the football, especially on those those QB design sweeps that they like to do, pulling the linemen outside. That he is their whole offense. He's both, you know, prolific passer and a rusher of the football. So I think they do need to add balance. And like Mina said, I love the additions, particularly Dalton Kincaid. He's going to create matchup problems and going to force defense to make decisions as far as personnel. But ultimately, they do need a little bit more balance on offense.
Yeah, all three of us are going to bring up Dalton Kincaid for a reason, right? Because very rarely are we talking about a rookie this early, right? We haven't even seen him in a game just yet. But I think most of us have had conversations, or at least have seen him in action, to say he's going to be a significant improvement for this team. And even just talking to people in Buffalo during those OTAs, he's the player I kept hearing about in terms of what this offense thinks, where they think they've improved the most. He's the type of player that week one is going to have an immediate impact on this team. So in terms of drafting the right guy for where they're at right now in this offense, this seems to be a home run for them.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, everybody that was looking for a receiver this offseason kind of felt like they had to go with some kind of different kind of choice because the receiver availability wasn't great. The Bills draft a tight end in the first round, but to Mina's point, maybe not really a tight end. We got time for one more thing here on NFL Live today. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce take on Steph Curry and Klay Thompson tonight in the match. This is a golf match between the two Chiefs stars and the two Golden State Warriors stars. The trash talk has already begun.
Getting real ready. I'm getting inspired by what I see on the TV, Pat. Ha, ha, ha. It'll be the same thing in Vegas, baby.
I don't think we're underdogging it at all, man. I don't know about, you know, Steph and Clay, but me and Pat have never lost in Vegas, and that's not a shot at the Raiders at all, man.
It is a shot at the Raiders.
Like, that's absolutely
what it says. So, yeah. Do we want to look at the golf shots? Do we want to show some of these guys playing golf? Or?
I don't care about the golf. I don't. Here's what I care about. Guys, they've been partying for 3 to 4 months, right? Yeah. So I look at it as this. It's probably better that they haven't been playing a lot of golf. I think they're going to be able to go out there and win just because they haven't been practicing, where Steph and them, they've been out there a lot. These guys haven't.
Well, let's take a look at how their games shape up at this point. This is Curry earlier this week from the fairway. You know, this looks like he's getting some good practice in here. And this shot here is going to spin all the way back. I mean, this is like one of those Instagram videos that you feel like it's doctored. Like, how do you, I mean, man, you know Curry could hit from long range, but that is pretty special. But here's Travis Kelce. He knows his way around the green. Look at this putt for eagle on 18 from over 120 feet in last year's event. Drains it. Then celebrates with Mahomes and Justin Timberlake, which is how I like to celebrate when I make a long putt. Damian, who you got in this? Who wins?
I'm going to go with the basketball players. I think they get a little bit more time on the golf course, man. So I'm going with those guys.
Mina?
I was going to pick the Chiefs, but that Curry shot.
That's all the time we have on NFL Live.
Kind of swayed me.
Golf Live, whatever it is.